Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. For a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. 14 and 15 don't have a purport, so I'll read those first. Drishtva mahadbhutam raja rajasuya mahakarto vasudevi bhagavati sayujyam chedibhubhuja tatrasinam sura rishim rajapandu sutakrato prapracha vishmita mana muninam srinvatamidam. O King, at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the son of Maharaj Pandu, personally saw Sishupal merge into the body of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Therefore, struck with wonder, he inquired about the reason for this from the great sage Narada, who was seated there. While he inquired, all the sages present also heard him ask his question. So text number 16. Sri Yudhisthira vacha aho ati adbhutam hi etad durlabhai kantinam api vasudevi Pare tatve praptish chaidashya virvishaha. Sri Yudhisthira vacha aho ati adbhutam hi etad durlabhai kantinam api Vasudevi pare tatve praptis chayadasya vidvishaha. Sri Yudhisthira uvacha aho ati adbhutam hi etad durlabhai kantinam api Vasudevi pare tatve praptis chayadasya vidvishaha. Sri Yudhisthira uvacha aho iti adbhutam hi etad durlabhai kantinam api Vasudevi pare tatve praptischaidasya vidvishaha. Sri Yudhisthira uvacha
Kantinanapi.
Vaishnavis. Shri Yudhisthira Uvacha. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, Aho, O Ati Adbhutam, very wonderful, he, certainly, Etat, this, Durlabha, difficult to obtain, Ekantinam, for the transcendentalists, Api, even, Vasudevi, in Vasudev, Pare, the Supreme, Tatve, absolute truth, Praptihi, the attainment, Chaidyasya, of Sishupala, Vidvishaha, envious. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, it is very wonderful that the demon Sishupala merged into the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though extremely envious. This Sayujya Mukti is impossible to attain, even for great transcendentalists. How then did the enemy of the Lord attain it? Please repeat. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, it is very wonderful that the demon Sishupala merged into the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though extremely envious. This Sayujya Mukti is impossible to attain, even for great transcendentalists. How is it then, did the enemy of the Lord attain it? Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmanitamena Tasmaya Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Upakatamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sorry, I've got to read the purport. There's a short purport here. There are two classes of transcendentalists, the jnanis and the bhaktas. The bhaktas do not aspire to merge into the existence of the Lord, but the jnanis do. Sishupala, however, was neither a jnani nor a bhakta. Yet simply by envy of the Lord, he attained an exalted position by merging into the Lord's body. Certainly, this was astonishing. And therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired about the cause for the Lord's mysterious mercy to Sishupala. Jai. So, Sishupala is creating a big scene here. This is a personality that we know originally was one of either Jai or Vijay. I'm not sure which, but it doesn't explain. But they were very dear servants of the Lord and the Vaikuntha planets. And one day, the sons of Lord Brahma happened to enter into the spiritual world because they were great transcendentalists, pure devotees, and they could enter anywhere. So they were entering these different gates and this Jai and Vijay stopped them. And they were very much angry, these four Kumaras, these sons of Lord Brahma. And they looked at him and said, "What? How could there be enemies in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha? These guys must be enemies. They must be just imposters. So they see everybody like themselves. So they're seeing us as if we were enemies. So therefore they should be cursed to go to the material world and be demons." So they actually became enemies of Krishna. So we find out from the story that actually it's not that anybody can leave, you know, once you go to the spiritual world, how can they fall from there? But this is a pastime where Krishna sometimes he has his propensity to fight. Because everything comes from Krishna, even this fighting propensity. So sometimes Krishna wants to have a good fight. And there's no way he could do that in the spiritual world because there's no enmity there. You have to have enmity, an enemy, in order to fight somebody. So Krishna wants a good fight. So who else is going to be a better opponent or a good enemy of Krishna than his own devotees? So Krishna is setting up this whole stage, a scene, so that he can experience this activity of fighting. So four Kumaras cursed these Jai and Vijay. They begged, you know, they submitted to them. They didn't become angry back, but they submitted and they said that, "Please, you know, we will accept your curse, but please bless us so that we will never forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Because devotees, they can tolerate anything, any kind of difficulty, except the forgetfulness of Krishna. They were willing to accept any kind of curse or punishment except forgetting Krishna. So they begged the Kumaras to bless them in this way. And immediately Krishna appeared with Lakshmi and so much paraphernalia. And because he didn't want it to escalate, and he wanted to, you know, protect his devotees, because Krishna wants to, you know, once you surrender to Krishna, Krishna will protect you. So Krishna appeared in the scene and he apologized to the four Kumaras because these are my dear servants, and if they have offended you, then I am to blame. You know, they're so dear to me that anybody who surrenders to me, I'm willing to lop off my arm to protect them if that's need be. This is how dear the devotees are to Krishna. And he was explaining to them how dear his servants are, and how he feels bad because they offended, and he feels that it was his fault. And then the Kumaras realized, well, actually Krishna, these are very dear servants of Krishna, and we cursed them, so actually we're at fault. Now, what did we do? We were very haughty, and we cursed these servants of Krishna. They're very dear to him. So they pray to Krishna, "Please, Krishna, if you want to punish us, please, you can, but please bless us so that we'll never forget your devotional service." So here we're understanding two important points: devotional service and always remembering Krishna. They're so important that a devotee can't tolerate being without these, no matter what happens to a devotee. In fact, only by devotional service can one counteract a curse by a brahmana. That's the only thing. There's no weapon, there's nothing that can do that except devotional service. And so Krishna blessed these Jai and Vijay, and he said that you will always be in touch with me and you will always be remembering me, and it'll be intensified by anger and envy. Even Yudhisthira said that I don't think there's anything greater than than to think of someone of Krishna in this envious, angry attitude. So this is how they're always protected by Krishna. They're in touch with Krishna constantly. Sishupal, from when he was born, the first words out of his mouth was like a bad word, gali. bad word, he said, about Krishna, you know. So it's interesting, Sishupal was born with four arms and three eyes. You know, that's when he came. So, you know, this is the third birth after they came. They had to take birth as demons, three births. So this was their last birth. So Narada Muni said that whose ever lap Sishupal, you know, whoever holds him or whose lap he sits on, he'll get free from these extra arms and this extra eye. But that's the same person that will kill him. So, you know, Sishupal's mom was going everywhere trying to put, you know, different people's laps. So came to Krishna, and as soon as, you know, came in contact with Krishna, you know, his two arms disappeared and his eye had disappeared. But then she begged Krishna, please don't kill him. So Krishna said, okay, I won't kill him. You know, I'll tolerate his blasphemy and his criticisms for 100 times. That's it. So this is the protection that Krishna gave him, or, you know, consoled his mom that way. So here, we're entering the pastime where Sishupal just is getting to his limit. You can imagine there's this Rajasuya sacrifice. It's so pompous, amazing. We can't even imagine what it would be like to be in this situation. Krishna just came back from taking care of Jarasandha, because Maharaj Yudhisthira was wanting to perform a Rajasuya sacrifice, so all the kings had to be, you know, submissive to the king. So they had just finished taking care of Sishupal and releasing all those thousands of kings that he had imprisoned, and Krishna personally released them and gave them opulences and clothes, and he had men and women, you know, taking care of them and dressing them and bathing them. Krishna's so kind. And he came back and he told Yudhisthira that what happened, and Yudhisthira was just like, you know, tears in his eyes and so grateful to Krishna. And he says, how can anybody, I mean, Krishna's authority is accepted by the greatest personalities in the universe, great sages, great personalities. They're just waiting for an opportunity to accept on their head his orders. But here I am, you know, a king, thinking I'm the controller, and you're actually doing what I say. You know, is actually being a servant of Yudhisthira Maharaj to help him in so many different ways. But this is the love that Krishna shares with his devotees, the loving relationships between his devotees and the Lord. So Krishna, sometimes he may become the servant of his servants, you know, or he'll become the child of his devotees. Krishna is the most powerful and everybody fears him, but yet Krishna is afraid of Mother Yasoda's stick. That's amazing, Krishna. So here is Krishna at the Rajasuya sacrifice. He's come there, and Yudhisthira is about ready to perform it. And they're waiting for the proper time. And the proper time to perform this Rajasuya sacrifice is in the springtime. So this is happening now here. Spring is coming, so it's a great opportunity to perform sacrifice. Of course, anytime we're performing the sacrifice of the holy names, of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the only sacrifice we can perform in this age. Because the Rajasuya sacrifice, everything had to be perfect. Maharaj Yudhisthira invited personalities from all over the universe. Nagas, celestial birds. You know, you could just imagine the scene. I was thinking this is like, you know, Star Wars, where they show all these different personalities from all over the universe coming, you know, and coming to this. So he invited all these people. There's amazing, great personalities. And he got these Brahmins who were just as powerful as demigods. They were performing the sacrifices ready. So here is a scene. You know, there's personalities like Vyasadeva was there, and, you know, Bhishma. So many amazing, powerful kings were there. He even invited Duryodhana and, you know, his enemies there. They were there. So they had to plow the ground with gold. There was golden plow. They plowed it. It was, and all the utensils had to be gold. They had to have checkers there that, in case the mantras were not chanted properly, then they would have to correct it so it would be perfect. So everything had to be perfectly arranged so that this would be successful. So here they perform this register sacrifice, and it's performed. And in the middle of this assembly, there's a thing they have to perform before the sacrifice. Is called the Agra Puja. Agra means first, and Puja means to worship. Who's the personality there that we're going to worship first? So there were some transcendentalists there that were kind of arguing amongst themselves. Maybe it should be this one, maybe it should be this. There's so many powerful personalities there. And Prabhupada describes how these were actually, they were like neophytes. They didn't really understand the situation. They just started talking amongst themselves, and they didn't really know what to do, what to say. But actually Lord Brahma and Shiva were there even. And they figured, nobody's asking us. Okay, we'll just, if nobody says anything, then we'll speak. Otherwise, nobody's asking us or our opinion. But then they said, oh, at the same time, Sahadev is here. So Sahadev is very expert at analyzing every different situations and how to solve problems like that. So then immediately Sahadev spoke and he said, it's Krishna should be worshipped. He's the first one to be glorified in this assembly. And if we glorify him, then actually we're glorifying everybody in the universe because he represents all the demigods. In fact, he's the sacrificial fire. He's all the utensils. He's everything here. And if we glorify Krishna, then we'll be actually glorifying ourselves eternally. You glorify everybody in this way. So they selected Krishna like that, and everybody was like, Sadhu, Sadhu. Which means, you know, they were saying, you know, excellent, excellent. This is great. So Krishna was worshipped so nicely, beautifully, and Maharaj Yudhishthira was bathing his feet. And then he got the water and sprinkled it on his head and sprinkled it on all his family members. And he was like so full of tears, he couldn't even see Krishna. He was so happy. But in this assembly, there's somebody who's going to make a scene. And Sishupal was there just waiting. He was there. And he could have spoke up earlier, but he kept quiet. And he could have said, oh, it shouldn't be Krishna, it should be somebody else. But he was very intelligent. And he figured if they selected someone else, you know, before, you know, the Rajasthira sacrifice, then it will be okay because, you know, they made a mistake and selecting Krishna, then they'll select somebody else and then they'll perform the sacrifice and it'll be perfect. But then they perform the sacrifice, they perform the worship for Krishna, and then after they finished worshiping Krishna, he spoke up amongst all these great personalities and warriors. He had the nerve to stand up fearlessly, waving his arms and saying, you know, who is this Krishna? He's just a mere coward boy. You know, he's like an outcast. His family, he's insulted his families, and he's just word after, you know, just like all kinds of blasphemy coming out of his mouth, describing how Krishna's, you know, just like so many ways. He left Vrindavan and he's living in this fort in the ocean, and he just does nefarious activities there, you know. So he's like, so anyways. But the acharyas and the purports, like Sridhar Swami and Vishnubhat Chakravarti Thakur, they actually turn his blasphemy into like praise and glorification in the same way. So it's interesting. But yet, so then he speaks up because he figured, you know, in this way, the ceremony is performed. They selected the right person. And then in this way, when I, you know, tried to change and show them how they made an error selecting Krishna, then the sacrifice would be completely null and void. So then it would be canceled. So that's what he was trying to do, destroy not only Krishna, but the devotees of Krishna, like King Yudhishthira. So you can imagine what happened. All the great, you know, some people just like, you know, started saying, Krishna, Krishna, closing their ears and just leaving the assembly. the other warriors just stood up and drew their arms and their weapons ready to kill him on the spot. And Krishna at that time, he knew that if there was bloodshed in the sacrifice, then the sacrifice would be destroyed. There would be no, it would be null and void. So Krishna at that time, he got up, and it just so happened that Sishupal did the last 100th blasphemy. Krishna, then he stood up and he had his Sudarshan chakra and just razor sharp, cut off his head in such a way that there wasn't a drop of blood spilled on the sacrifice. It's amazing. So he killed him, and then when he was killed, everybody's, yay, Haribo. He's killed. So then they performed the sacrifice, and Yudhisthira was very much honored and worshipped. He looked like a demigod, he's effulgent, and everybody was so grateful and happy, and they were so proud. And all these different types of personalities were worshipping him and offering him praise. And then they left that place. And actually before that, Maharaj Yudhisthira was bathed. There's a last sacrifice as they bathe Maharaj Yudhisthira. And then because they were such devotees of Krishna, they asked Krishna, please stay for a few more months. So one who is dear to Krishna, they can practically get any kind of blessing from the Lord that they can imagine. And this was the case of King Yudhisthira. He was so dear that Krishna did anything for him. He became their messenger. He became their chariot driver. He became the president in this assembly. You know, he went and helped, you know, destroy kings. He protected the fire sacrifice in so many ways. He was so dear to Krishna. So this is the devotees and Krishna and the loving exchanges that they have. And how we can also develop these loving exchanges with Krishna. But we have to give up this illusion, this mirage that we're attached to, like the kings that were kidnapped in the prisons. They were so humbled by that, that they approached Krishna and said, everything that we have, that we own, is like a mirage. It's useless compared to you. So Krishna then was very pleased and he blessed them. And he said that you'll be blessed, that you will always be engaged in devotional service. You can perform your duties and at the same time think of me, perform your kingly duties. But we have to give up this illusion, developing love for things of this world. We have so much technological advancement today that it's amazing. It's like people are inventing things that seem to be impossible in the past. But yet, there's no love amongst each other. Because they're identifying with something that's not even real. It's an illusion. It's a mirage. But we can have this real love and a relationship with Krishna and each other if we just develop this humble attitude to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, and to always glorify him, never forget him, not even for a moment. This is the best blessing and the benediction we can ever get, is to always think of Krishna and never forget him. And this is why Prabhupada came. He started this Hare Krishna movement so that we can somehow or another always be thinking of Krishna, engage in some kind of service, devotional service, so that we can always remember Krishna. So, there's an echo. It's a confirmation. So this is, we're very fortunate to be in association with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because here, that's all we do, is somehow or another hear about Krishna and engage in devotional service. And even if you're a demon, no matter if you're the lowest dog eater, then if you engage in devotional service, hearing and chanting about Krishna, you will become pure. And this is what's happening in this age of Kali now. So many of us were in these positions, and then we come into Krishna consciousness and we're engaged in pure devotional service. So we shouldn't take it for granted. It's the most valuable thing is the association of devotees. And to offend devotees is a grave, as we see from this pastime, it's a grave offense. We have to become very careful. And in that way, we will always remain, no matter what position you're in, whether you are in, even Prabhupada says, in hell or whatever, if you're just thinking of Krishna somehow or another, you'll never be unhappy. There was some lady, I was giving a class on Skype the other day, and there was a devotee, she came on and said that, you know, how can we understand? She was, her daughter was going through so much suffering and pain and so many different things. She was explaining to me how to understand the situation. But at the same time, she was saying how her daughter was so surrendered to Krishna and made a commitment that she would never forget Krishna. And that way they were being perfect examples of devotees in a situation where it could be very difficult, but yet not unhappy, and yet still have hope. So it's about 14 after. Maybe there's a minute for some comments or questions. Yes. See, I think his hand went up first. Or go ahead. That's it.
Prabhu, thank you very much. Thank you, generally, in assembly of big personalities, in this case, great sages, and the whole universe was there. You have also some Mahajanas. And suddenly, Sahadev.
Upstart, yeah.
You know, yeah, he went and spoke, and there's an etiquette sometimes, you know, like you let the seniors first speak or give their opinion. So I was wondering, and also another thing too, for him to propose, I was just thinking that normally the objection is, oh yeah, you know, like when you have a guru and the disciple is like praising and glorifying. Among disciples is good, or those who agree with it. But if you do that in an assembly, in where large assembly, in which apparently is nothing to do with it, they will say, oh yeah, I can understand. He's a family member. He has to do that. So, can you expand in that? Just, you know, in question etiquette, and for him to do that, and then everybody didn't even speak. They didn't say anything at the beginning. They could, but they did not. And so my question is, do you find some insight in that, why that happened and why everything just meant to be that like that? Is there any explanation that you could give from that?
Okay, I'm not sure if I understand your question, but what I try to understand is that you want to know why when someone speaks up in an assembly like that, the more the etiquette, and why other people didn't speak up to stop that? I'm not sure if I understood.
Other personalities were there, but they did not. Like even in Bhishma, that he knew, and obviously other ones, they knew that Krishna was God and he should be, but he did not. Sahadev did that. But the objection can be very easily done by other people. You know, oh yeah, he's a family member. Obviously he's going to say Krishna. It's like when a disciple wants to glorify the guru, a family member. Oh yeah, obviously you're going to say that because it's your family. So it appears that the credibility will not be as strong as if it's someone like Vyasadev or someone like Narada Muni or Bhishma
Sahadev,
or Brahma. But they took Sahadev as a...
Well, Sahadev was, as I said, he was like an expert at analyzing situations. So he was known for that. And that's what Lord Brahman, Lord Shiva and all those great personalities decided, well, if he doesn't speak up, then we'll speak up. Because these neophytes, they're not really sure who Krishna is. And after Sishupal did speak up at the end, you know, trying to defame Krishna, it's not that nobody wasn't going to speak up. There would have been a huge fight. And that's why Krishna stood up, because they would have destroyed the whole assembly. The whole assembly would have been destroyed with these devotees, I mean, these different kings were ready to kill Sishupal on the spot. But that would have messed up the whole yajna. So that's when Krishna stood up and just very intelligently, expertly used his Sudarshan chakra in such a way that there wasn't a drop of blood spilt, and it was still remained a peaceful atmosphere. And everybody was satisfied. Yeah, it's a pretty amazing situation. But then the story goes on. You know, Duryodhana was there and he became so envious. So then this leads into more pastimes, more intrigue and great scene. Oh yes, someone else had their hand back there. Sorry.
So does Krishna consciousness life means a happy life?
Yes.
And how so?
Well, Krishna consciousness means happiness, because happiness is the symptom that you are Krishna conscious. If you're not Krishna conscious, you're going to be very morose. You're going to be very upset and disturbed and angry, greedy, so many things. Prabhupada even said that if you know, the symptom that you are actually Krishna conscious is that you're happy, you're blissful, because you're associating with Krishna. So it doesn't matter what kind of situation you're in. If you're thinking of Krishna and you're chanting Hare Krishna somehow or another, engaged in devotional service, you'll be happy. It's guaranteed. Try it. See if it works. You look pretty happy lately. Is there a reason for that? Okay, so association. When you're around happy people, you become happy. Krishna is a supreme blissful, so how can Krishna, you associate with Krishna, you become Krishna-ized. Or it says when you become Krishna-ized, then you begin to actually not only become happy, but you'll see Krishna face to face. Jai. Yes, someone has their hand back there.
Dun, 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 dun. So I know this may sound like a dumb question, but like I'm just curious. So what's like an example of like remembering Krishna? Is it like always like having like a picture in his head, or just or chanting always, or just like, because I'm still kind of confused on like, you know, remembering Krishna, because I can be, you know, staring at a picture, you know, and I remember him, but when I'm not staring at him, it's like, mm-hmm. It's like, do I still keep that image of him in my head? Is that like an example of like always remembering him?
No, that's an excellent question.
That's
a very good question. Yeah, Prabhupada says in this particular day and age, the way we remember Krishna is by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's not through the eyes, you know, it's through the tongue and the ears. So it's not that you have to, even someone asked Prabhupada, what should I think of when I'm chanting? Should I, you know, memorize something? Should I see something? Prabhupada says you don't have to think of anything, just hear the name. That's sufficient. So easy in this age, you know, it's amazing. Yes, Sevastopol. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. That's the Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, that if you associate with materialists, you're going to become, you know, you'll become successful materially because you're going to just hear about all those things. But if you associate with devotees, you're going to hear about Krishna, his names, his pastimes, so many ways. And that way, you become purified and happy. Jai, thank you, Prabhu. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam.